Merry Christmas. Parang hindi merry ang Christmas niyo. Merry Christmas. Ayan. We will be talking about Christmas. So when we talk about Christmas, it's about hope. So when we talk about hope, it's about Star Wars. So let me tell you the story of Star Wars. Sino na po yung nakapanood dito? Diba? So marami pang hindi nakakapanood. Spoiler alert. Ayan. Diba? Okay lang ba yun? Di pwede. Baka batuhin niyo ako dito eh. Diba? So my professor in Greek actually greeted us. This is his greeting. Merry Christos Mas. Okay? Now I saw some had argument in Facebook regarding Merry Xmas. We see it as X, okay? But let me tell you, that's why people say bring Christ back to Christmas. But let me just tell you this, I want GCF New Valley to be informed with this. My desire is that GCF New Valley will be a critical thinkers, that before you make your argument, do a research. Okay, before you make an argument. Now, it's not X. Okay? It's not our English alphabet X, but rather it's the Greek letter Ki. That is the first Greek letter in that word Christos. Christos means Christ. Okay, so the English word is Christ and the Greek word is Christos. So the early believers used that first word for Christ or the Ki as a shorthand for Christos. That's why when you see quote-unquote Xmas, you still read it as Christmas. Okay, not Merry Xmas. Okay, it's still Merry Christmas because that's just a shorthand for the word Christos. Because of that first letter, looks like an X, but actually it's a Greek letter Ki. So the reason I am telling you this, because I don't want you to get entangled with these trivial matters, because what is important, whether you write it on Xmas or Kimas or Merry Christmas, it's your preference, how you will write it. What is important is that we know what is the significance of Christmas. What is Christmas all about? It has nothing to do on how we write it. Okay, what is Christmas all about? Now, Christmas, is it about the gifts that we receive? Is it about our bonuses? Is it about extra income? Food? The atmosphere of fiesta during Christmas? Now, there's nothing wrong with all these things. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. We all love to receive gifts. Ayaw nyo ba? We all love to receive gifts, right? And we all do love. There's joy in giving gifts to our loved ones. There's a joy. We enjoy our bonuses. 13th month, 14th month, 15th month, or that extra income that we can save in our banks. We enjoy the food. Left and right, Christmas party. We enjoy the food. But let me just tell you, everything in moderation, especially eating lechon. Okay, this Christmas, this holiday season or Christmas season. Now, there's nothing wrong with all these things. Nothing wrong. But if we miss the point, if we think that Christmas is all about these material things, if we think that Christmas is about reunions, just being merry this holiday season, because I want us to understand that Christmas is about the birth of the Messiah. It's about the birth of the Messiah. And when we're talking about the birth of the Messiah, it is about the incarnation of God. And when we say incarnation of God, we're talking about God became flesh and dwelt among us. You can read that in John chapter 1 and John chapter 1 verse 1 and John chapter 1 verse 14. Now this was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." That word name or characteristics of the child that is being prophesied implies that this is a no ordinary child. Because this child, he is God himself. That is why that's the characteristics, the name. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we will just focus on one of the names that was given to the child, the Prince of Peace. So today, let us celebrate the Prince of Peace for two reasons. Because the Prince of Peace made the way for us to be at peace with God. And the result of being at peace with God, we now enjoy the peace of God. That is what we will learn about the Prince of Peace. But before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Indeed, Lord, it's all about Him. Christmas is about the birth of the Messiah. And when we're talking about the birth, Lord God, we remember the grand redemptive story, your redemptive plan for us, Lord God, to be saved, to be at peace with you, and for us to enjoy your peace. So we thank you, Lord God, and I just pray that may we truly be reminded of the true essence of Christmas or the true significance of what Christmas is all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the word prince, okay, it is connected with the word government in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 8. Because in the ancient Near East, it has something to do with ruling. So the Messiah, we will experience lasting peace when the Messiah finally rule and reign here in us during the millennial reign, millennial kingdom. So that is why he is called the Prince of Peace. And this is also the reason why we are looking forward to the second coming. That is our blessed hope, the second coming. We're not only remembering the first coming of Jesus Christ, but we are also looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, because only then we will experience lasting peace, especially with what is happening around us. John Golden Gay, who wrote Isaiah for Everyone, he said, in this context, shalom or peace, that's the Hebrew word for peace, will then include the idea of peace, but the word commonly has a broader meaning of well-being. Well-being meaning life as a whole is going well. And when we talk about life, okay, included here, the most important of all is eternal life. That is the most important of all. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. This is a reminder for us, especially when we have reunions this coming Christmas. It's good for us to share the gospel. And this, by the way, and this is Christmas. It's all about, it's about Jesus Christ. So let me remind you that Jesus Christ, he is the only mediator between God and man. Paul said, for there is one God, and there is one mediator, not two, not three. There is only one mediator between God and man. This is a general term meaning men and women, humanity. There's only one mediator, my dear brothers and sisters, and his name is Jesus Christ. And look at the description of Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself as a ransom for all. Therefore, the Prince of Peace, he is the greatest gift of God to mankind. That is why the Apostle John wrote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is no other name given under heaven by which man can be saved. Dr. Luke wrote, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is only through the name of Jesus. There is no other name. It is only Jesus, the Messiah. So the Prince of Peace, he is the only way for men and women to be at peace with God. The question is, why do we need to be at peace with God? Why do we need a Savior? Look at what Mary said. Even Mary uttered these words when he said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So even Mary needed a Savior. We all need a Savior. But the question is, what is the problem? Why do we need a Savior? Here's the problem as to why we need a Savior. The Apostle Paul wrote, for everyone has sinned. This is a review of the gospel message. Okay? So that when you share the gospel, you still, at least you will remember this. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone means no one is exempted. All means it includes you and me. All have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Every human being here on earth, every tribe, every language, every peoples, everyone has sinned. That is the problem. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Take note, it's God's standard. That is the objectivity here. It's not about your standard or my standard because that is relative. We're talking about God's standard. And when we talk about God's standard, it's perfect. Just to see, put it in a chart, He wants perfectness. That is God's standard. So if I'm going to ask you now, when it comes to your goodness, can you say that you are living a perfect life? Because that is God's standard. Do you live a perfect life? Perhaps you say, I'm not committing sin against God. Perhaps I commit sin against my fellow men. Listen to what Kostenberger wrote in his book, Truth Matters, when he said, most folks limit their understanding of evil to the horizontal level. People harming other people. But the Bible, however, affirms that even the person-on-person relational nature of evil and suffering is in essence a vertical rebellion against God, His authority, His principles, and His rule. When King David, reeling in shame from his acts of adultery, remember the story with Bathsheba, and murder, he said to God, against you, you only, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So he was painfully experiencing a deep biblical truth. We not only inflict damage on others when we lie to them, when we steal from them, when we abuse them, mistreat them, but we are ultimately offending the holy, a holy and a righteous God. In essence, when we sin against each other, we offend the holy and righteous God. So all have sinned. If you are going to ask me, so Pastor, where are you in the chart? Probably 4, 3, 4. If I'm going to ask you, where are you when it comes to your goodness? Remember, God's standard. If I'm going to ask Brother Mark, where are you? 1 to 10. If I'm going, 1 to 10. Give me a number. 5, okay? So, hindi pa rin umabot. 5 eh. Kung 10 dapat, di ba? Para standard. Where are we? I want us to reflect right now. Where are we when it comes to our goodness? So, if we are 5, 3, or not 10, then we are in big trouble. That's the big problem. Why? Because here it is. Since we do not achieve God's standard, the problem is, how can we pay it? The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the wages of sin. The wages means the payment. If we want to pay for our sins, then the payment is death. And we're not talking just about physical death here. We're talking about eternity. We are talking about eternal separation from God. So that is a big, big problem. It's a big problem. But thanks be to God, He gave us the Prince of Peace, the perfect gift. Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. But God showed His great love for us by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were still sinners. So the problem, sin. We did not achieve God's standard. The predicament, death. And here's the provision. Here's the answer. Jesus Christ. He is the only answer. We cannot pay for our sin. If you want to pay for your sin, then that's death. Eternal separation from God. Since Jesus paid it all, this Christmas, this is what it's all about. Jesus paid it all when God became flesh. In theology, we call it incarnation. When God became flesh and dwelt among us, we commemorate the birth of Jesus. And when we commemorate the birth of Jesus, we are thinking about, or we are remembering God's redemptive plan. Remember who Jesus is. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I like the paraphrase of this in the Message. Look at how the Message write this particular verse. When Eugene Peterson said, he paraphrased this, he said, when Jesus served as a sacrifice for our sins, He solved the problem. Remember, the problem, sin. But Jesus solved the sin problem for good. For good. Not only ours, but the whole world. So looking at the chart again, we cannot attain God's standard, but Jesus can. His finished work satisfied God's standard. That is why the author of Hebrews said, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God." You see that phrase? He sat down. He sat down. It is like saying it is done. It is finished. That is the reason why we say the finished work of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus did it all. Now, knowing this truth, why we need a Savior? Because we all sinned against God. That's the problem. The predicament, death. But Jesus solved that problem. So here's the challenge for you, my friend. The Bible says the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. So the prerequisite for you to have the promise is for you to believe. The promise, when you believe, you will have eternal life. But on the contrary, if you reject Jesus Christ, you will not see life. So either you believe or you will reject. So my prayer, my friend, this Christmas, remember, it's all about Jesus Christ, and you can have that perfect gift today. If you haven't yet received the perfect gift, eternal life, this is an opportunity for you to have eternal life. I don't know where you are right now, my friend, but if you think you do not yet at peace with God, you do not have yet a relationship with Him, today is the day of salvation. Maybe let us just bow down our heads, and my friend, this is for you. You can profess your faith right now and receive eternal life. You can profess your faith by praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross in my place to save me from my sins. And I receive you as my Savior. In your name, I pray. Amen. Now for us who already professed our faith in Christ and on His finished work, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate the Prince of Peace. Remember, Christmas is all about the grand redemptive story. And when we say celebrate, it's not just about singing songs, remembering His birth. When I say celebrate, we're talking about obedience. Now that we are a Christian, now that we are a believer, when we say we celebrate Christ, we celebrate the Prince of Peace, we're talking about obedience to Jesus, our Lord, our Master, our great Teacher, our Savior. So how's your obedience, my dear brothers and sisters? Looking back, 2019, where are you when it comes to your obedience to the Lord? My prayer is that looking forward to 2020, we will resolve in our heart that we will obey Jesus as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus. Now, not only that we celebrate Jesus because He saved us, because He made the way for us to be at peace with God, we also celebrate the Prince of Peace because He gave us the peace of God. Look at what He said to His disciples. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Take note, He said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now, the context of this verse, this is within what we call the upper room discourse. This is an intimate moment between the Lord and His disciples. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, up to 17, the priestly prayer of Jesus. Because after John 17, you will now read the sacrifice of the Savior. So this is an intimate moment between Jesus and His disciples. Jesus was encouraging His disciples that even though His time is up, He will leave them, but He will not leave them as orphans. He promised them the Holy Spirit. And along with the Holy Spirit, He said, my peace I give to you. I like to read to you what Warren Wiersbe said about this particular verse. This is quite long but important. Listen to this or read along with me as I am reading this, and you will see what the peace of God means here. He said, Shalom. Warren Wiersbe said, Shalom or peace is a precious word for Jewish people. It means much more than just the absence of war or distress. Shalom or peace means wholeness, completeness, health, security, and even prosperity in the best sense. When you are enjoying God's peace, there is joy and contentment. But God's peace is not like the peace that the world offers. The world bases its peace on its resources, while God's peace depends on relationships. To be right with God means to enjoy the peace of God. The world depends on personal ability, but Christian depends on the spiritual adequacy in Christ. In the world, peace is something you hope for or work for, but to the Christian, peace is God's wonderful gift received by faith. Unsaved people enjoy peace when there is an absence of trouble, while Christians enjoy peace in spite of trials because of the presence of power, the Holy Spirit. The Prince of Peace made the way for us to be at peace with God, and the result of the peace with God is the peace of God. This is the very reason why the Apostle Paul wrote, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Last Thursday night, the leadership of GCF Nuvari had a meeting because of the delay of our building project. We seek God's guidance, and along with it, we seek some suggestions from our in-house engineers and even in-house contractors, the contractors that's attending here in GCF Nuvari, because we want to expedite our building project. So we are having some problem with our current contractor. There are some delays. So if there are some delays, then it means some disappointment in us. I'm sure you are all excited to see our building, right? Am I correct with that? Parang hindi kayo excited, ayaw niyo makita. We are all excited to see our building. So, and since there are some delays, so we are somehow disappointed with what is happening. But here's one thing that I learned from that situation. As we are seeking God's leading last Thursday, hearing suggestions upon suggestions, there is peace within us. There's the peace of God, knowing that God is completely in control, even the church building project. Yes, there are delays. So since there are delays, there are disappointments, but it does not mean God's denial. It means a divine appointment for us to continue to seek God's guidance, seek God's will. Because once it is finished, then we can truly say it is all for the glory of God. Knowing all these problems that is happening, we can only say it is all by God's grace. It is all for the glory of God. And last Thursday night, we were there around 10 p.m. or 10:30 p.m. Even Pastor Art was there, and he even gave an exhortation that definitely God has a better plan as to why we are having these delays in the construction of our building. God's timing is perfect. God's plan is perfect, and He knows. And anyways, it's His building. It's God's building, so definitely it will be finished. It will be completed. So there is still peace. And I also felt this peace of God when my son got hospitalized, upon knowing that my son was already out of danger. That's the time I started to look for the billing. Di ba ganun yun? Running bill, kung tawagin natin. And when I saw that's already 6 digits, alam niyo, lumalaki na yung mata ko, di ba? Parang ganito ba talaga? Ang bilis naman ito. For about 2 days, 6 digits agad. So he had an operation. So, but although there's some worry, but after praying, there's this peace of God. Lord, I know you can provide for this man. And true enough, God provided. There's this peace, even though, remember this, peace of God doesn't mean absence of troubles in life. We will still go through as believers, as Christians, we will go through testings, trials. But the important thing, especially if you already at peace with God, you have the peace of God to guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, that is all because of the Prince of Peace. So Christmas, it is all about the Prince of Peace. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So let us celebrate the Prince of Peace. May I call on again the exalting team so we can sing songs of worship to our Prince of Peace. The exalting team.